Are we all going to die because of climate change? Well, the answer is yes, according to the fiery rising Democrat star in the U.S. House of Representatives, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a returning guest. His name is Gregory Wrightstone. He's been working in earth science for more than 35 years now, and he does not agree with what he would call climate change alarmism, such as the view held by Ocasio-Cortez. He's the author of a book called Inconvenient Facts. His website is inconvenientfacts.xyz. And it's great to have you on the program again, Gregory. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry. Great to be here again.
Okay. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is calling on her colleagues in the House of Representatives to pass a Green New Deal because people are going to die from climate change. And let me just quote this. CNN reports that the U.S. Global Change Research Program estimates tens of thousands of premature deaths from the effects of climate change, including deaths from starvation, mosquito-borne illnesses, extreme heat, flooding, and other natural disasters. Please take as much time as you want. Are we all going to die from climate change?
Well, we're all going to die, but it won't be from climate change. What we'll see, actually, and have seen, is that rising temperatures will absolutely, positively lead to a lengthening of life and lessening of premature deaths. And that's because the largest study of its kind in the world that looked at temperature-related deaths, they looked at 74 million deaths around the world. That's a pretty good enough sample for me. 74 million deaths, they found that 20 times as many people due to cold temperatures as from warm. So that's significant. There was another study in England and Wales, large study there. They found that 15 times as many people die due to cold as from heat. So it stands to reason that warming temperatures will then lessen death due to cold. And actually in the report, and I've not read the entire thing, it's 1,600 pages, but I'm in Dallas this morning on the flight over. I read several of the overview chapters. And they actually, they do state that, but they kind of go right on. A large study estimated that in the European Union alone, there would be 160,000 increased deaths from warming. And then you go a little bit deeper, they report that there'll be 260,000 deaths saved by warming.
Oh.
So actually, European Union, but that's not what the headline said. The headline said 160,000 people die from global warming, not neglecting that the report actually stated that 100,000 lives should be saved.
Mm.
Because that's the difference between those lives saved from lessening the cooling deaths and increasing warming. So they have it completely wrong. And this report, I'm a little bit fired up this morning because I got so angry reading this thing. It's a hodgepodge of cherry-picked information, some outright fabrication. It's almost, you read this thing, it's like walking through the Book of Revelation. There's everything with flaming toads falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's completely alarmist.
Can you put this in perspective? What exactly is this report that you're referring to? You said it was 1,600 pages?
Yeah, it's the National Climate Assessment. It was just released Friday, and it's the Congress mandated this back in, I think, 1990 to have this every so many years, I think 4 or 5 years that it's released. So it's been in preparation for some time. It actually came out under the auspices of Donald Trump, which is kind of crazy. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, course, got up and she said, you know, we don't believe this is backed up by the facts, which caused everyone to dump on her about that. But what we see is really this is an abuse of the scientific process, what I see in this.
Huh.
And I'm in the middle of writing a commentary right now. The title of it is The Fire Facts Foil Climate Fraud. And I'm looking at, they really use forest fires as the poster child for this report. The cover of the first chapter is forests and flames, and the back cover is forests and flames. And throughout this report, they state categorically about increasing wildfires. And the one, and but we know all of the data that we can find show that forest fires have been in a long-term and significant decline. Even in California, according to CAL FIRE, their statistics, forest fires, the number has decreased in California by 50% over the last 30 years. Completely opposite of what we hear. And it's crazy. And the one chart in this report, this National Climate Assessment, they include one chart. And I went back and I said, boy, this is pretty fishy. And here it was from the National Interagency Fire Service. They cherry-picked data from 1984 on to show area burned. Well, the data goes back to 1928, okay? But they didn't show that. If they included the entire data set, we would have seen that forest fire area burn has declined more than 75% in that time frame. But yet, they can't show that, because that would be contrary to what they're trying to do. And that what they're trying to do is to instill fear in the population and the citizenry, so we can, and that's the object here. We need to get people scared enough that we're all going to die, just like Ocasio-Cortez has said, from climate change. And we need to enact things like the Paris Climate Accord and a carbon tax. And I don't know if you saw yesterday, a bipartisan coalition proposed a new carbon tax bill. So there were two Republicans and three Democrats. And this carbon tax would be horrible, horrible for the economy. And it would be, what they say is, well, they're going to turn around. The government won't keep any of the money. It'll be redistributed. Well, this redistributed is the key item here. They're going to take from the wealthy and distribute it to the poor. And that's the real goal here. So it's there's a lot of things going on right now related to climate. And the ones from the climate end, the Democrat side and the climate alarmists, they're proposing some pretty harmful things out there.
Wow. Well, I guess what I don't understand is, how to assess these, scientific studies. And it's interesting, though, too, because China apparently is the worst offender in of all the nations on Earth at this present time. China mm-hmm. is doing the worst as far as clean air and clean water, and yet all the people who are shouting out for climate change, that we need to address this aggressively and so forth, they're always blaming the United States. It seems like the U.S. is actually doing a better job than some of these nations, and especially in contrast with China.
Well, it's not that it seems that way. We are. We're the only nation on Earth that's significantly reduced its carbon dioxide output.
But we're always presented as the bad guys.
Yeah. Well, it's perception. You don't have to. It's not what's real. It's what we want you to believe. And they want you to believe, because Donald Trump pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords, that the Earth's going to spiral into some apocalyptic hell. And we see just the opposite's happening. And that actually the United States is the good guy. If you believe that carbon dioxide is leading to global warming, fueled calamitous climate catastrophe, then we've done more than anyone. But yet we're vilified because we pulled out. And it's just crazy.
I'm not even sure if I fully understand the whole premises of the argument, in the sense that I remember from basic biology years ago that it's a brilliant system the way God has designed things. We breathe out carbon dioxide. The plants need that carbon dioxide. They breathe out, if you will, oxygen, which we need. And so we have this reciprocal relationship. What's the problem with carbon dioxide?
Well, it's not. If you go to my I've got a blog at inconvenientfacts.xyz. I've got one that's titled "I Love Carbon Dioxide and So Should You," and then another one's "How Green Is My Planet." Both of those revolve around the benefits of warming temperatures and increasing CO2. And CO2's doing marvelous things. It's spurring crop growth. Laboratory studies have shown that a 300 part per million increase, we're at 400 right now, 300 part per million increase in CO2 would increase crop growth by an average of 46%. Isn't that a good thing? I'd say that's really good.
Yeah.
If we can fuel crop growth by an increase of almost 50%, my goodness, that's marvelous. We'll be able to feed the hungry. But yet this report predicts crop failure and famine. And we know that the opposite is actually occurring. My chapter in my book is famine. The best thing to do is increase carbon dioxide and raising temperatures. And that's, we've seen that it's had a tremendous effect. And just think about this, that rising temperatures, and in the report, they do acknowledge that rising temperatures will increase growing seasons. They go, well, yeah, and that's the one thing I've seen, that it's one benefit they report. But just think about that. So we have increasing temperatures, and they've been increasing for 300 years, will lead to increasing growing seasons. We can have more plantings. We can grow more crops. Killing frosts stop earlier in the spring and arrive later in the fall. We're actually adding area as warming continues that could be tillable. We've seen that the tree line in Canada, according to Dr. Tim Ball, over the last 200 years has moved northward 200 kilometers in 200 years. Found that it was fascinating. So we're seeing a greening of the planet, according to NASA. And if your listeners are going, huh, what's Greg talking about? If they just Google NASA and greening, they can find out what NASA has to say about this. And according to NASA, up to 50% of the Earth is what they call greening. In other words, vegetation's increasing. Only 4% of the Earth, according to NASA, is browning or loss of vegetation. That's a pretty good trade-off. I'd take that any day of the week. Huh. But yet, we hear all the bedwetters and hand-wringing over this, and it's just completely, again, we see that the facts, the data, and the science don't bolster what these predictions are.
Wow.
They're predicting famine, early death. We just go through this whole litany, and time after time we're going, no, the science doesn't support that. It's crazy.
Well, is there really, is there climate change, and is it because of man's activities?
Well, sure, there's climate change. There's been, I mean, the one thing in my book is that temperatures, the only thing constant about temperature is it's never constant. I mean, it's gone up and down and up and down, sometimes really significantly. We've been in a warming trend, Jerry, since the year 1695.
Okay, now that's 100 years before the Industrial Revolution began. Interesting.
Exactly. And actually, if you really look, if you look at when we started adding carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, it really didn't start ramping up until the mid-20th century. It was in that post-World War II economic boom is when we saw really a significant increase in temperature. So, you know, this warming started, in, like I say, in the year 1695, the depths of the Little Ice Age, which was horrific. Half the population of Iceland perished. A third of the population of Europe perished.
In the cold.
Because of the cold. And we see this. I'm a big proponent. I love history. And if we look, I'm a big proponent of relating temperature to civilization.
All right, we have 30 seconds left.
The rise and fall of temperatures closely related to the rise and fall of civilizations. But we're rolling out a smartphone app we have out here within the next couple of weeks, inconvenient app that'll be powerful for your listeners to go get. They can have information in the palm of their hand.
Interesting. All right, we've been talking with Greg Wrightstone, author of the book Inconvenient Facts, and his website is inconvenientfacts.xyz. So the bottom line is the sky is not falling. Hey, thank you so much for being with us, Greg.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.